Well, there's no surprise there's something special about this night. It's Christmas Eve. For those of us who are welcoming or being welcomed by family, Christmas reminds us of the importance of family. Even with the struggles and tugs, it's still a priority. For those who love presents and Santa, oh boy, there's that. For the festivity fanatics, the parties, the glitter, the music, it can't be beat. For the traditionalist, it is bringing out the heirloom ornaments and attending the special candlelight service, singing the familiar songs of old, even if it's the only time you slip into a pew. But then there is this founding event. Sure, it may have happened on a green hillside later in our church calendar year, some 2,000 years ago, but forefathers of faith found the great symbolism of this time of year to be the right time to tell the story of the Christ child. In the darkest days of the year, just pulling out of winter solstice, as the sun sets early and the nights seem darkest, we celebrate Christmas. The event so far removed by time and our current reality that it seems kind of like a fairy tale, told about a far, far away land when a prince was born into lowly means. The language used, the geography so different from ours, we often, though fond of telling the story, remove the true impact it has on us. You know, the night Jesus was born. So we enter places like this, to endure or delight in the 60 or so minutes of remembering, and then we move on, or should I say, back to the way of the world, at least the ways as dictated by our worldview. And folks like me stand here, each year, trying to somehow offer a new slant on an ancient story. It's like working for an ad agency trying to sell electricity. Is there any way to really take us from the mindset of now to the mindset of then? Well, it's up to me to try tonight. So maybe, with the help of linguistic time travel and your willingness, we can give it a go. Okay, here's how we're going to do this. We'll hit tonight's first scripture listed in your bulletin, found towards the end of the Bible, and move then to a brief gospel soundbite from the mouth and heart of Jesus himself, all growed up, kind of towards the center. And by the end of the service, we'll find ourselves in Bethlehem. Kind of a hindsight is 2020 perspective, looking at Christmas from the rearview mirror, using our energy from our past to inform our future. Yep, we can do this with Christmas scripture as well as with our own attitudes and lives. To help us, I will also weave in a bit of wisdom shared outside of scripture, shared by some whom have grown familiar to us in the late 20th and early 21st century. Now, I acknowledge that most of us tend to seek and nod more often with the words we hear affirming our own long-held beliefs. But there are times, aren't there, when something that is said shifts us even if only slightly on a healthier trajectory, even when looking at a historic event like Christmas. So with a bit of help from modernity, soiled and savvy sages of our time, as well as our biblical text, we will hear just why on this night we have cause not only to celebrate, but also be given good reason to live and love as God calls us. Now first, from the Apostle Paul's letter, written to a community and friends of Titus. It was written about 50 years after the first Christmas. From Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 in part. We have cause to celebrate, because the grace of God has appeared, offering the gift of salvation to all people. Grace arrives with its own instruction. Run away from anything that leads us away from God. Abandon the lusts and passions of this world. Live life now in this age with awareness and self-control, doing the right thing and keeping yourselves holy. Jesus, the Anointed, gave his body for our sakes and will not only break us free from the chains of wickedness, but he will also prepare a community uncorrupted by the world that he would call his own. People who are passionate about doing the right thing. Now, the translation I used is a bit more contemporary than most use or read, but I have to admit that it's not just the translation that seems contemporary. These ancient words are truly applicable today. It comes at us with a certain common sense wisdom, not so elevated to be ignored as some ivory tower reflection, but real. And right now, Paul doesn't give us some demigod or mythological figure with the power to manipulate our every step, but instead he offers us wise guidelines teaching us that we have something to do about our life situation, that we need to take responsibility with how we encounter the world, adjusting our attitudes so that we will passionately do the right thing. Finding our way to the manger, so to speak, where began the inspiration and hope found in the birth of the one who did this thing called life the best. I mean, looking at it this way, we can accept that we aren't pawns on a chessboard mindlessly being manipulated by a cosmic wizard. We have the opportunity and choice to be mentored by Christ, the salvific life and teachings of Emmanuel. It is up to us to choose how we encounter life every day. For each day holds a surprise, says modern-day sage Nouwen, but only if we expect it can we see, hear, or feel it when it comes to us. So let's not be afraid to receive each day's surprise, whether it comes to us as sorrow or as joy. It will open a new place in our hearts, a place where we can welcome new friends and celebrate more fully our shared humanity. For we have cause to celebrate. We can celebrate while we trip and dance on this planet, or we can mope and mull, curled up in a fearful ball in a corner. I know we have all been there at one point or another, but I pray not for long, because our time on this marble is limited, and that salvation-preaching radical rabbi Jesus wasn't just born to give a field full of shepherds a thrill, an innkeeper a couple of overflow guests, or a few magi an excuse to travel. He came to transform this world with peace and love, and not in one fell swoop, but one person, one family, one community at a time. From his lips to our ears, as found in John's Gospel, Jesus said, "My children, I will be with you only a little while longer, and I'm giving you a new commandment, so you'll know where I am and who I am. You must love one another." See how we are rolling back in time to Christ's reflection on his time well spent on the third planet from the sun? The life and teachings of Jesus that inspired and shifted the penman to Titus's book on a trajectory. Yes, even Paul, a hardcore Hebrew fundamentalist, changed his mind and attitude. Christ's transformational message wasn't complicated and was as modern as it was ancient. We must love one another. No, not condemn or ban or smugly judge one another. No, the ultimate soundbite from Emmanuel, the one who walked on his Father's behalf, was love one another. So here we are, my 2016 sojourners, at a crossroads I'm sure many have faced before, to find our way to the manger or to walk away from it. Oh, but if we do find ourselves manger side, and from it take the gift of welcome and grace and hope in its redemption, if we find our way to the manger and with it find the truth that God loves us as much as God loves the newborn king, then oh my, the love and light will not leave room enough for the darkness of heartache and rejection the brokenness of this world has cast upon us. We will not only know of love, but we will be consumed by and held within love if we choose to accept it. And to be in love, as pure contemplative Richard Rohr says, is to be standing in a different space, because love is not what you do, it's how you do it. When you stand in the state of love that Jesus offers, you live inside of a different energy. You're not entirely self-preoccupied. You try to care for the world. You say, "I have one life, and when I leave here, I want to make sure this world is a little better because I was here." In spite of the darkness, even when the darkness is that which I have drawn in upon or experienced in my own life, I can be changed, and I can be the change I wish to see in the world. Hey, thanks Gandhi for that one. Well, I'll be. From modernity to the manger and back again. Maybe we can and will find something new after all. Would you pray with me? Holy One, Earthly One, from Emmanuel to street corner prophets to folks sitting in a church on a little hill in Virginia, allow us to not only find our way to the manger, but be transformed by the love that awaits us there. For as it was written in the ancient days of Isaiah, "The people who had been living in darkness have seen a great light. The light of life has shined on those who dwelt in the shadowy darkness of death. And you, God, will make it happen. You bolstered the nation, making it great again. You have saturated it with joy. There will be a new time, a fresh start, hope of all hopes, dream of our dreams. A child is born, sweet breathed, a son is given to us, a living gift, Jesus, our cause to celebrate because grace has most definitely appeared, even in the darkest of nights. Amen.